Chris, I'm ready for you. I'm gonna pull up the member list.
Okay.
Can you see that, Chris?
Alrighty.
Chris, can you see that?
I can.
Okay.
I sure can.
I like how Tim Herman's name is spelled.
Probably don't die.
He's always got time. He's good. All right, we'll go ahead and get started. Appreciate everybody taking the time to be in our meeting today. Let's see. Let's do a quick roll call. North Region. Who's here from the North Region? Marcus or Tyler? Okay, not hearing anybody from North South Region.
Tim Herman there.
Hunter on the call, my chance.
You hear me, Tim? Can you hear me?
Tim,
we got Tim. And checking to see if Hunter's on the call as well. Okay. East Region, Lee? Lee Price? Brian Emerson from East.
Yeah.
Here.
West. Who was that sitting over here?
Lee Price.
Got you. Thank you, Lee. West Region, Nathan or Howard? All right. Raleigh Wake, either Dominic or Chris, Walt.
John's
over
here. Okay.
Chris Walton is on. I think you can probably see him. He's on the call.
Okay. Darryl, do we need a list of everybody else in the meeting as well? Because we've got, I'm seeing four voting members, which I believe would be a quorum, but.
That's up to you if you want to go around and just see who's on the call. I would, what I did on the meeting the other day was just, if their name was on there, that's great. You know who they are, unless you don't recognize a name, or you can just call out the phone number.
Well, let's see. I see quite a few folks that we do recognize. Melissa Teen, you're on the call. That's what I'm seeing. There, Melissa?
Chris. I'm here, yes.
Okay. Melissa, you at Raleigh Wake?
I am, yes, sir. I'm in the QA department with Chris.
Okay, very good. I want to make sure, let's see, Staples, K. Cole, Rachel, now we got a few phone numbers I don't recognize, but I'm good with going to what we got.
Okay.
That's the time. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've got about an hour, not quite, because we've got a partners call that's at 11. A lot of people that are on this call need to be on that call as well. So, we're not going to I'm going to try not to waste anybody's time. We're going to move through pretty quickly. Minutes are on the website for use of anybody that needs them. So we'll forego any type of approval. Old business, discussion of any old CAD-related items. Just wanted to kind of leave that as a, if there's something that's hanging out there that we need to talk about, just kind of have that there. I have got a few new business items. In addition, we'll go through those as time allows, but has anybody got anything that, other than what's listed on this, that we should talk about as far as a, an old business type item on CAD related topics? All right, I'm gonna move on. I think we're gonna hit some of that kind of stuff as we go through today. So I'm gonna just kind of hold on that one for now. I'm not hearing any pre-plans. So Darryl, I think you may have added this one. This is the the storage of where can we store pre-plans and be able to access them? Is that, am I the correct item there?
That is correct. And Rachel has a call, I think it's monthly now. Rachel, you can chime in, but on a call we had with Rachel a couple weeks ago, we did talk about where we were at with pre-plans, and we're still working on that, unless Rachel's got an update on how they would be entered, where they would be stored, who would be the one that would do the changing of them when something changed, and just how all that happens. Rachel, you got an update on that?
Is either Joshua Hardesty or Paul on the call?
Paul?
Hey, Rachel, I'm on the call. It's Paul.
Okay. So, this is Rachel. We had a call a week ago, about trying to explore different options for the most efficient way. And by that, I mean less labor intensive on both the fire department side and on the CAD side to get pre-plans into the system so that if you're responding wherever and whoever's responding with you to an incident, have the ability to pull up that PDF or a document or a web link or some method of getting that information into y'all's hands. There's a couple of different obstacles with it. So the brains behind this is really Paul Roberts and with Raleigh Fire and Joshua Hardesty with Penelma One Center. We left that call with a few things that they were going to start working on in a test environment to see if they could make work. Paul's here and let you share anything. I'm not sure if there's anything you want to tell the group, and I'm not sure if Joshua's on either.
Okay. Pretty much what Joshua and I are looking at is, at least what we did for Raleigh Fire was have a form through the MDT mobile CAD that would link into our records management system, which is a on-site firehouse database that would pass the address to our system and pull back pertinent information in a text form. Within that text form, there is a link that they can look at if there's any attachments as far as pre-planned building layouts, floor plans of that nature. So unfortunately, that link when I was testing with the new CAD interface, that link and form has been broken. But if you guys want to look at what the form looks like, I can share that information with you guys. That's totally up to you. But that's what we're kind of exploring right now, potentially, is having access to somebody else's system. The concern that we have with that is we have, if I'm trying to do maintenance on our system, we would just have to align it somehow with the 911 system to make sure that our system would be available or whoever's system would be available whenever the CAD system is up. So that's one kind of hurdle that we're trying to figure out, and as Rachel alluded to, what the best place is to house all the information. Is anybody interested in seeing what we have laid out? I'll pause for a second and wait.
I know I am, Paul, and that sounds like I guess I'm big on it. I'm still remain consistency between county and city fire. If we're doing it one way and it's working, why not do it the same for the other? I mean, obviously, it would point to a different place, but I'm interested in seeing what you've got going.
I've got a question on this. It's Tim. I'm interested too, Paul, but is your testing, which is pointing to your record management system, is it able to set that up and point to a dozen different record management systems if we're all using different types? Is that throwing any red flags? And maybe that's a question for Josh. I can see it working well with pointing to one.
Tim, this is Rachel. I'm going to step in here and speak a little bit at a turn. That is one of the concerns that we're trying to work around, is to see if there's a way that we could point to one location and the data be there. That there's process and not only consistencies in the data that's there, but how it gets there and everything else that we're still trying to work through. And when I said we're trying to make it the easiest we can for you guys and for us, that might very well create an extra step. That's still one of the things that we're trying to work through. So don't know that we have a great answer for you now, other than that's the biggest part that we're working on testing.
Right, and another red flag we were discussing internally was that whatever CAD has for the address or name has to exactly match what our RMS would have, and how it comes in, especially getting into addresses and apartment numbers or suite numbers or whatever. If it's not exactly the same, is it going to match up?
Go
ahead, Paul.
I'm sorry. Unfortunately, I am not able to share my screen. It's asked me to log into the conference, and I don't have an account.
Paul, if you'll shoot me that email, I can pull it up. Chris, you okay if I stop sharing the agenda for a bit?
Sure. Okay, Darrell, what do you need from me?
If you'll shoot me your screenshot on email, I can pull it up for you. Chris, while he's doing that, if you want to move on to that next item, which was the premise-based response plans, I don't think that'll take as long.
Okay. So on the premise-based response, this is going to be another one for Tim, as we identified Garner as kind of the test case to try to develop a way to where we have specific properties that need a different response than what, you know, maybe it's a high hazard or high life hazard or what have you. So we kind of voluntarily chose Garner and Chief Herman to try to kind of be the guinea pig to kind of work through that. So, Tim, I don't know if it's a good one to kind of start with you, or we can, I know a lot of people got their hands in working through coming up with a solution, whether it be, you know, Bob or whoever, but Tim, if we could kind of start with you anyway.
Yeah, we met about it, and I'm not sure if it's been implemented yet. We just picked one apartment complex that we felt was a higher life hazard than others, and the biggest workaround was, I think there's 12 or 15 buildings on the property. Do we want to submit all the addresses or draw a geofence around it? So I think that was the route Bob could speak upon that. Seemed to be an easier route, so anything that came in inside that geofence and the structure fire would get that special response, and it was structure fires only. So for a test piece, that's the property we chose. I'm not sure if it's live or not, so I don't have any more information. Bob, if you could speak on that.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. No, we put that in the train system to test that, and the only real solution to that would be to add a new response area and draw a new response area around those properties. There is no viable solution to attach a new response plan to anything but a premise location. And the user would have to choose that premise location every time, regardless of what address it was. So the only other thing I can think of other than that would be to, which really that piece is not the best route, in my opinion. It's not the most efficient route either. It involves a lot of other parts and pieces, but to maybe go to Central Square and see if we can talk to them and see if there's any other way that they can do some type of enhancement or kind kind of change things up a little bit or see if they have any other ways of doing this in a better way. So
Bob, just to make sure, if I remember correctly, part of the issue was that if somebody called in the call and maybe they didn't know the exact address, just saw that an apartment was on fire or something, the call had to follow a very prescribed path or it didn't get that special response. And that was what you guys were trying to fix, was to, so that it would, you know, for example, if they didn't call from inside the apartment complex or they gave a different name or something, it could potentially not get the accommodate, was make sure that the special response was actually used. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, so the special responses are based off of a premise location. So when an address is typed in, the user has to choose that address or that premise from the geolocator when they're verifying or validating the address. And the override for the response is based on that premise name. So they would have to choose, if they put in whatever, I can't remember what that apartment complex is called, Tim.
Lenox Place.
If they put Lenox Place Apartments in there, then it would definitely get the override if that was attached to Lenox Place Apartments premise. But if they just put in the address and an apartment number or whatever, they're not going to get that override. So there is no, we can draw a geofence kind of around it, but it's not going to do a whole lot with the actual responses itself, because it's tied to the actual premise name. That's kind of where we're stuck.
Anybody have any questions for Bob or Tim, either one? So, and I guess just to reiterate, our intentions here are to kind of work this thing out, figure out a way that works for not only the submission of information from the department to the center, but also figure out something that's going to work operationally. So our goal is to get this kind of ironed out and figured out, and then we would roll it out to other departments. So anybody have any questions on, so it sounds like we're working on it, but we still got some things to figure out at the very least. All right, hearing no comments, I guess that's kind of a status update. We're still working on that. And if anybody doesn't have anything else, I'll move back to the pre-plans. Darryl, you want to talk about, you or Paul, what's up here?
Okay. What I did is I just took some screenshots and sent them to Darryl, so I guess he can flip through the pages. So pretty much we have a internal web server that is pointing to our records management system, and this can be accessed anywhere on our network. And what they would do is they would, in the address field, they would just type in that information. The form that Josh and I worked on would push that address automatically into that. It would click search and it would pull up a list of the addresses or that met that criteria from that next screen. Once you do that search, it gives you the address, and you have an option to look at the pre-planned drawing or the pre-planned information. Once that it's pretty much a one-page form that Paul, has.
Paul, let me know when you want to change. Let me know when you want to change screens. I just changed it a second email.
Okay, perfect. So this gives you. I just picked 509 Glenwood because our guys go there all the time. So it tells you the name of the occupancy, the address, the station, who's responsible for the battalion. If you click the next screen down, when they click on survey, what it's going to do is it's going to list that information. And this is all, and if you're a firehouse user, it's all in the additional records form that pulls that information out and presents it to the guys, gives them the contact information, gives them building information, and the way that it was built was if you fold the piece of paper old school in three into fold it in thirds, it starts out with, as the incident builds, this is the information that I need. So just a basic fire alarm call, I'm probably going to need the Knox box location, the elevator location, the staging area, and if there's any contacts, that contact information would be filled out, like safety. As the incident escalates, I would need to know where the hydrants are, so it's kind of laid out that way, scrolling through that information. And again, this was all pulled from Firehouse. From that other option, you would have to pull up that picture. Most of our stuff is in Excel. For the most part, I know we were talking, you guys had some questions about the different databases. I think if we came up with a standard of what the information was or where it was being pulled from, whether it's from emergency reporting or Firehouse, I think Josh and I might be able to manipulate it, actually more Josh than me, to get it into a standard format that would be inside a system that potentially is managed on ECC side. But again, we have not had approval. We're working with Rachel and Joshua to see what the best place is, but this is what we offer to our guys in the field for us. It's pretty basic, simple information that comes up real quickly. The benefit of this is, you know, on the geeky side of this, it's a text format, so it's not a PDF, it's not taking time to open up. It's actually hitting the database, it's pulling back string information, so this form that Daryl's shown, it's very small form. It doesn't take a lot of bandwidth coming across the internet to pull up and get that information. So that's kind of how our stuff is set up and how we work. I'll put myself on mute, so if anybody's got any questions.
Questions for Paul? Or comments one way or the other?
I like it. Love to see it where we could do something similar in the county. But I think we need a county-wide system, much like Raleigh created, that we call the GLIOS versus pointing the different RMS systems.
Yeah, I think the goal would be even for us to push into a centralized system so everybody would share the wealth. So whatever system we came up with would be, we would be incorporated into as well. So that's something, you know, that we've agreed upon from our side to push information into to whatever system we get approved.
Not hearing any comments. Anybody see any issues or we continue to work on what Paul has presented here? I mean, there's things to be done as well, obviously, but I just want to kind of get everybody's check in that they're good at what you see, and if you've got any questions or whatever, now's a good time to ask. Paul, Rachel, do y'all need anything from us as far as the work you're doing?
I guess if we can just ensure that the information is consistent across the agencies, what you guys are looking for. So if we can just get, if there's some other fields or something that is not present in like our form, what you guys would want to see so we can standardize it if we're going to build something out so that information that's being pulled would be consistent across all the agencies.
Paul, do you have any type of, and perhaps it's just kind of what we just saw, something that we could send out to those on the committee and say, these are the information they could compare that, see if there's anything missing, or I don't know what's the best format to do that, but do you have something we could send out and say, hey, these are the fields we're looking at or whatever?
Sure. There's actually... Before I converted it, we were doing this in Firehouse and printing it out, so I have actually a report in Firehouse that has that information, so I can do give you the basic fields and forms, what it looks like, empty as well as filled, so you guys can look at it, make sure it meets all your needs, and if there's other things that need to be added, we can, like I said, modify it at that point as we try to build out something that would work for all agencies.
That sounds very good.
So are you limited to the number of pages? Let's say you had a drawing that was multiple pages, or are you trying to stick with just a one pager?
So normally what we do for arts is it's a total of two pages. One is the basic information, and then the second page would be the drawing. So to keep it simple, that, you know, old school paper, we just had one page or total of two pages per building. So one was the information sheet and the second one was the drawing.
Right. And I mean, I think the idea is this is the information you need at the very beginning. If you need more, you've got time later to dig into your record management system. So this is just a quick access. So do you have concerns on how many of these pre-plans would fit in that system or storage wise?
I know, talking to Joshua, if we do a PDF version of that one page information with a drawn, so it'd be a total of two pages. I know for the city of Raleigh, I mean, we have 25,000 occupancies. We don't pre-plan that many. We pre-plan roughly about under 3,000 of those because we deem them as high hazards, and that's our current policy. So the question is just a matter of if we do a PDF or something like that, and it would reside on the local computers, potentially we would run out of some space, so we'd have to figure out, one, where the information would reside. Would it reside on a central server? Would it reside on the MDTs? And how much information and space would that require? So there are several components. I think that we need some direction and guidance on from above us to say this is something that we're willing to back up. I know from what we've seen in the past, I think people would want it built with inside the MDT or the software so it's consistent, and there are some potential constraints within that software to download all the files across the entire county and potentially create some issues during upgrade times and things like that. So hopefully we'll, as I said, have some direction, but I think the two-page thing would be the best bet in my mind.
Right, and I was thinking that was the case, so maybe the committee, Chris, needs to, I mean, I don't think every single pre-plan needs to live in CAD, just the target hazard, and we define what that is, you know. It's just an idea. If space is an issue, and we have some type of guidelines, what would be in CAD.
Okay. We're putting that down as a two definition of that target hazard. It'll keep her from doing every little mom and pop shop, so to speak. So.
Right. Yes, sir.
Any other comments or questions? Any other old business we need to discuss? Like I said, I've got a few under new, but old business items that have not been taken care of. Okay, hearing none. Let's hit first Falls Lake responses. So the issue here. Chief Pope reached out to us with an issue, and I think staff has been working on this as well, but just to kind of bring it up for discussion if there's anything we need to do. The issue was that sometimes there are calls that occur on Falls Lake that are more of a service nature than an emergency nature. For example, the boat that runs out of fuel would be an example, or somebody that needs a tow or whatever, and Northern Wake is being dispatched to those calls as a as an emergency response, a rescue, if you will. So figuring out how to, if you will, triage the more emergency calls from those that are not as more of a service call than an emergency call. I think Chief Pope's on the line. Chief Pope, did I characterize that fairly well?
Yes, I think in talking with Bob last week, I think a good example is if you had a car break down on 540, what response would you get? I think typically it probably would be a law enforcement response versus same situation, a boat broke down out of fuel on Falls Lake. You would think that wouldn't trigger a fire and rescue response, but maybe a law enforcement response. We're just trying to figure out a way maybe to not being used as CETO or Boats USA, maybe focus more on the emergency response and maybe find a way to move those calls elsewhere. Bob, can jump in because I think you're looking at it more from a broader perspective.
Yeah, so right now those are all handled on EFD, so part of that I would have to pass off to the QA folks to see exactly how we would handle those calls, or the operations folks see how we would handle those calls from a call taking standpoint. When it comes to the responses, they were tied. We had to tie them to something when we went live with CAD, and they're all tied to a water, some type of water response on that particular EFD card. So if they need to be shifted towards a some other type of law enforcement response, or whoever would handle a boat that runs out of fuel on the lake, I'm not sure who that would be, but we can tie it to whatever we need to tie it to. It's just we need to know, what the procedure and process is going to be for handling those calls.
Hey, Bob, it's Walker here. I think we're supposed to transfer those calls over to Lake Esso if it's not somebody who is having a medical emergency or a fire emergency.
Okay, and that may be the case, Marcus. I appreciate that. I didn't know exactly what the procedures were for that, those types of calls right now. But I do think that in talking with Chief Pope about this, that we do need to potentially look at some of those non-emergency watercraft EFD determinants to scale down the response, because he's right. I mean, EMS shouldn't be going out to a response on the lake with a boat that's run out of fuel. So I think we need to revisit that and make sure that we have, even if it's just like a single engine or something, or a request for service it's tied to, or something of that sort. But if the procedure is to shift that over to Wake SO, then maybe there's some type of operational misunderstanding that's going on.
This is Jonathan Leal, and I guess I don't know if that's written in our procedures anywhere. I don't think that's common knowledge that we're supposed to do that. I know it falls on an EFD coding of, no injuries, just disabled motorists at the 72 Baker, whatever. So I guess we need to make sure if that is the case, verify that with Wake SO if that's what we're supposed to do. And also, if that's something we have to do with all lakes and all bodies of water in Wake County, and we just don't want to have to remember one thing for one certain area.
That's correct, and that may be my old school way of thinking, Tyson. But I'm not trying to throw anyone under the bus. It may just be my old way of thinking today's past. But I feel like disabled voters, we always transfer. Or I always transfer over to Baker. So again, that may be something.
The last call that we had that this applied to looks like in the notes the boat won't start, and it got entered at the 73 Bravo 01, which is a watercraft disabled, which drove a fire and rescue response.
Would it be? I mean, would it be out of the way then, just to say if it gets that final coding, if the response plan sends, a single engine, or, and then from there that unit can tell us to call, like what we would do for law call, we would call a wrecker. Or do you want us to investigate the Wake SO route? I guess there's a couple different ways operationally we can go about that.
Hey, this is Daryl. Tim, you help me out, and y'all got to help me out with these bodies of water. But there's a marina on Falls Lake that operates, it's either CETO or Towboat US. One is it the same thing at Jordan Lake, if any of that's in Wake County, or any of the other ones? Is there a way in Raleigh Wake system to tie anything that happens there where you could automatically have that number, kind of like your rotation wrecker service, where your first call is to the marina to see if Towboat US could get en route? And then obviously if it's a thunderstorm coming up, getting late at night or something like that, it creates more urgency, where then you could probably kick out the fire department if you're not getting a good response from the marina and the towboat.
I agree, John. I think the scene of the fleet wing response to a boat on the lake probably wouldn't be a good way of handling it, because, you know, obviously they wouldn't be able to make contact from shore. I think it would probably fall more in law enforcement and maybe going to route Daryl was mentioning.
Yeah, let me, I guess I'll, we can hold off on this for a little bit. Let me reach out to Wake SO and see if that's something they're still familiar with and doing. And we can look at maybe adding that. I'm trying to think how that would work with our CAD, because we're going to be EFDing a call, because it does fall under the EFD protocols for a disabled boat. So I'm just wondering what would be the trigger point to pass on to all our people to do that, if it gets to that final coding of no injuries, or, you know, cause we might not know until we get, we're going to put in that fast dispatch, the 72 Baker 9, to get units going. If someone says they're in the water, they need help. And then based on the line of questioning is going to determine the final coding if it's going to meet that criteria or not.
Hey, Leah, this is Josh.
Yeah.
So what we can do also with this is take a look at it, and we can look at it from a, at the beginning of the call, maybe look at checking on those injuries or if anyone's needing rescue in the beginning, and then going at it that way instead of entering that Baker call in the system to get units going. That way we won't have that pre-alert and then have to cancel them. But what we can do is we can take a look at that offline and come up with a better way to go at that. And if you'll still check in with Wake SO so we can kind of formulate that together. Because what we'll have to do is we'll have to write a local policy for EFD that says during these types of situations, we go this route with as far as call taking.
Yeah, I'm with you. That sounds good.
Oh, okay.
If it sounds good with you guys, then we'll leave that to Jonathan and Josh to kind of work through. And if we don't hear from you before, we'll at our next meeting, if you get something, I don't mind sending it out. It don't necessarily have to hold it, but if you get it figured out, that's good. But if not, we'll revisit it as old business next time we meet.
That sounds good.
Any other questions before I move on, or comments? So what Daryl's got on the screen now, if you recall, scroll down just a hair, Daryl. We went through and identified some of these and defined them. That's good. For example, in the high rise, to define these to give the telecommunicator some guidance, especially when they're going through the case entry, and you've got all these, I'm obviously talking about something I don't know a whole lot about, but got all these choices to choose from and this kind of thing. And this gives them some guidance. So for example, on the high rise, we discussed 7 stories or higher. I think that came from some existing policies, if you will. And we took care of those. We took care of a few of them, but a lot of them we did not. We left them blank, and we need to go back and kind of give some guidance. For example, the next one down, the large or small non-dwelling structure, you know, what's large, what's small? And that's kind of the question in front of us. So, Josh, have I described the task ahead of us, have I described that fairly well?
Yes, you have. So essentially with the new version of EFD that's out, some of the questions tie back to a response, but the answers to the questions tie back to some of these special definitions. So what we're finding is when telecommunicators and call takers are getting to these questions, they all might just come in, up and say suffix R, suffix S, so on and so forth. So none of them mean anything right now, but it adds a bit of a layer of confusion for a second or two on which one to choose. So a lot of these, I know the responses won't change a whole lot as far as what apparatus is responding or being dispatched out, but for a visual cue for the call takers and telecommunicators is kind of the need that we're looking for to get some of these filled in so that they have a visual that they can tie back to something that makes sense from what the caller is telling them when they're trying to answer these questions in EFD.
So what Josh did for me was collect some examples. And what you see on this large, small, non-billing is one of those examples. So definitely nothing that we have to necessarily take and run with, but gives you an example as a large non-dwelling is the size of a three-car garage or larger or barn, but a small non-dwelling is a two-car garage or smaller. Again, just gives them a visual indicator of how big is big, if you will. What I did was I took some of the examples from what Josh provided and I filled in the blanks, and there's still a few to be filled in. You'll see large and small aircraft below. Again, I used examples. If we've already adopted something, I just marked it as adopted. And we don't necessarily have to hash all of these out today, but I emailed this out. There's a couple of blanks that still need to be filled in. I just want to make sure that we're consistent. One with what City of Raleigh wants, Raleigh Fire. So Paul, definitely need you to weigh in, and if you, especially if you've already got something defined, we want this to match up there. But if there's a couple in there that relate to mass casualty and that kind of thing, so I want to make sure that our numbers are correct. But if you'd like, I emailed out where we were at so far. We can take comments. I just didn't want to send out a blank form and say, everybody give me an example. So feel free to mark it up to make any suggestions. I just wanted to give people something to react to as compared to having to come up from something from scratch. So there's the aircraft one. You can see if it's got two engines or more, then it's large. And then, again, this was just based off of the examples that Josh was able to get for us. So. The service call, I think that's one that needs some work, and Josh has sent me some information to kind of work through that, because there's a lot of suffixes within that service call 53 card, and that we could give examples there. Scroll down, Darrell, let's see if there's any more, just as large building, small building. There's the mass casualty one. If there needs to be some consistency with other documents, then that's probably a good place to make sure that matches.
Yeah, I think EMS starts at 6 people for a match.
Yeah, so we'll want to match those up. We already defined government building. We already defined fuel spills. Waterway was defined. Elevated structure, that one we would need to, and you can see, again, just an example. Continue scrolling, Darrell. Large and small outside fire, and it gives them some examples. You know, what is big, what is large, what is small. Water recovery has already been adopted. We've already discussed that one. The multi-vehicle has already been done. An inaccessible area. That one you see there. Need to define inclement weather, winds greater than X miles per hour, temperatures, you see the X there as well.
Chris, didn't we have a policy in the county about with the winds, with inclement weather?
We try to do one every time. We try to do one every time we have a landfall and hurricane, but it seems like it's the winds could be blowing 80 mile an hour in the east side and 40 on the west side, so we've always had a hiccup with that.
So the last thing that I've got from, what date was it? September 11th, 2018, we did wind 0 to 39, normal dispatching 39 to 49, life-threatening calls only, and excess of 50, suspension dispatch stacking.
That may be a good starting point. Yeah, like I said, the only issue we've had is, you know, you could meet that criteria on one side and not necessarily on the other side. But at least we can define it in that perspective. Complex terrain, got to make sure we're ready for those rescue events, those new cards that came along with it. Storage tank sizes. That goes from the LP, natural gas, chemical. It just continues on. You can continue to scroll. But it's already been adopted. And then the large and small grass fire, a lot of people use the football field as an indicator because people can visualize what a football field looks like. So I guess, I think there's a couple more pages of this, but so if you will, just get me comments back. If you've got things that you feel strongly about, or you've got ideas, if you'll just get those back to me so that we can put those together and compile them, and then we'll bring them back to the group as a whole, and then I can get those to Josh for implementation. So any questions or comments on that? All right, a couple other things, and so the new mobile UX, mobile client, whatever the official word of it, is out and about, and I know we are and EMS are both working on getting that to a point where we can use it. Myself and Lee and Tim have been doing some real initial tests, and the idea being, we could kind of work out some of the configuration stuff and identify bugs and get some of that ironed out prior to it hitting the road, so to speak. But I know there's also some central square side of that to make it all work. So I don't know, other than to tell you that we're working on that, I don't know if either Rachel or Bob or anybody has any updates as far as the technical side of that piece of it.
No, I know Brian Tipiak was doing some work with those configurations, and I actually just uploaded some new files for him today. But it's live and active. Whoever needs or wants to use it and test it, the more people we have in a live environment testing the new UX is going to be much more beneficial than just testing it in a training environment. So if anybody else wants to test that, I'm assuming I would just get with Brian and see about getting those devices on the new UX to do some testing. So yeah, there's some more changes coming down the road too with some newer versions, and as soon as we can have some greater feedback on the current version, that'll help us in the long run.
Thank you, Bob. I think Brian Pipiak is maintaining a list of either issues or this button doesn't work like we thought it, either A, like it used to work, or B, like we thought it was going to work. So he's working through all of that. So hopefully the version that he can push out will even be even better. So that's the goal. It's like anything else, there are certain parts of it that are just a little different. Some you like, some you may not like, but it seems to be a fairly good product. It does address some of those issues that have kind of been lingering with the current model. So any questions or comments on that? Or Tim and Lee, if y'all want to add anything.
Yeah, I think the three of us are getting the big bug worked out, but as soon as we can do that, I think we do need to get it in the the hands of the guys and girls on the trucks, they can bring up a lot more issues. We're just kind of working out the big ones. I would like to, Bob was asking me, so I just got a new version of the Field Ops, and I don't know how many people on here are using it. And I've seen a lot of improvements, but I was going to voice a concern, Bob, because I just had myself added to a fire alarm while we were in this meeting to kind of work out some bugs, and I'm not able to change my status. You know, one issue was putting myself back in service. I can't even check in route or ride or anything. So I don't know if anybody else is experiencing that, Lee. I know you're using the mobile app or anybody else. The notes field is much better. That's not all jumbled together. Seems to be loading a lot better, filtering a lot better. So, I mean, there's a lot of improvements. But to answer your question, Bob, last week, so I just had Raleigh manually put me on a call, and I can't do anything with my status.
Okay, that's good to know. Can you send me some screenshots or take some screenshots on your phone of what's going on, and I'll pass those along as well. Yeah, as much feedback as we can get from Field Ops as well, because that has come light years since we went live last year. So.
Okay. Yeah, Lee, are you using it?
I am. I have not used it in the past couple of days. I was gonna fire it back up this morning, but the one thing we talked about is not being able to put yourself in service once you're added to the call. But I definitely have been able to tell the difference between using it past couple weeks and what it was originally. It is getting better and better each time they roll something out. So.
I know on the old version, Lee, I was able to hit dispatch, and that would bring up a whole list of status changes.
Is that right?
I can't get to anything. When I hit dispatch, it brings me back to the call screen.
Yeah, I haven't even looked at it this weekend, so I've got to update it and pull it up. So.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions or comments on that? So we're very quickly approaching our hard stop with our the partner call coming up. I've got a couple items I'm going to push to our next meeting. It's my intention we can do these meetings a little easier than the face-to-face meetings, as far as putting them together and getting people. So with that, we may need a little bit more frequently to get through. So most of what I've got are just kind of FYI kind of things, nothing that necessarily needs any action at this point anyway. But Before I close this up, I did want to give an opportunity, if anybody's got anything that they want to bring up that we need to discuss today or something that I need to put on an agenda for a future meeting.
I know we got the email from Chief Smith in Holly Springs. I don't know if you wanted to table that. I know we're running out of time. We can't really discuss it today.
Yeah, so Chief Smith sent a email inquiring about station coverage and move up stuff, and I've got another somewhat similar request. It's the same subject anyway, so we'll table that for our next meeting. But we'll talk about how to accommodate keeping stations covered when things get busy. Anything else anybody's got? I want to thank everybody again for your time this morning. Thank you for bearing with us through these virtual meetings. I think it does make it easier to attend, that's for sure, but it may be a little bit more difficult to communicate sometimes. But I do appreciate your time today. We'll send out another follow-up meeting probably over the next 2 to 3 weeks, maybe 3 or 4 weeks, who knows. But anyway, we'll get something scheduled. I'll get that sent out. And then we'll kind of pick up where we left off with any progress reports on items we've got going, as well as anything new that may have come up. So, well, good enough. I appreciate everybody's time, and we will see y'all next time. And the meeting is adjourned unless we have anything else. Good enough. Thank y'all very much.
Good afternoon.